The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com and Byron Brown of Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, The Blur, Binary, and now the road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Strong. Please check him out at bbtas.com. Tell him the Lou Trek Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
Now establishing data link. Access now.
You're listening to show number 84 for Thursday, January 20th, 2011. I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo.
Welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true."
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.lutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is lutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, MySpace, whatever you wish, by going to lutrekshow.com/social. There you'll find ways to contact the show by voicemail, by email. Just don't send it. Collect call. I won't take it. And tonight, Brian is off. He's still sick, so we're not going to have Brian in here. And I'm sure some of you are probably getting tired of me talking about Byer Brown. So I've decided tonight I will not one bit hair. Now listen very carefully. Tonight, I will not be talking one bit about Byer Brown. Byer Brown, nothing about Byer Brown. Got it? Good. So I'd like to introduce my guest host for tonight, a man we all know, the man we all care about, the man we all love. And his name, oddly enough, just happens to be Byer Brown. So Byer, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Lou, how are you doing tonight? Good to be here, as always.
As always. And like I said, I'm not going to talk about you at all.
And no.
No, it's better to talk about people when they're not here, so I'm going to talk to you tonight.
And that is absolutely awesome. Oh, man, it is really good to be here.
Absolutely. You know,
I heard some of your last couple shows have been really good. They talked about you on CES.
Yes, they did. They did mention you, but I was just a wee bit jealous because they actually showed your website at CES.
You know, I completely have not. I still cannot find that. I've been trying. I want to see it so bad and do a little, you know, screen capture so that I can, you know, keep it for a keepsake. But I cannot find it.
Really?
Yeah. I got to go back there and dig a little deeper.
Yeah. Because on your page, you had to scroll down a little bit. And that's the disadvantage of WordPress. It's set the way it's set. And now mine, on the other hand, you know, mine, you pretty much get the last blog first. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to choose on yours. So it's all good. And boy, you know, I'm stuttering because I'm sure happy to have you on.
Oh, no. Nah. It's great to be here. I'm the one that's nervous. Like I said, you're the one that interviews mega stars out there for me to share the microphone with the great one, the Lou Trek.
Right.
The great one.
Now, you know, Mike Smith in the Mike Tech Show talks about this all the time. There is going to be the meeting of the podcasters or the meeting of the geeks in the Mike Tech Show somewhere in June. Would you like to talk about that here?
Yeah, for sure. Forget about the G20 summit. We're talking about the meeting of the geeks.
Yes.
Here in the Berg. I really, you know what? I would love to make that into like a really, like a cool event, something that could be televised or something just as cool as like CES or any of those kind of things, the meetings of the geek, where geeks are called from all over the land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the geeks, myself, I certainly do hope so. We'll be meeting in Pittsburgh on June 4th of this year. Mm-hmm. And I believe, you know, Mike was even talking about we're going to take in a baseball game, right?
Yeah, because right? they're coming out for a – the way it all came about was he's coming for a game that he was doing with his son that's going to be played here in the Berg. So he decided, why not reach out? Why not gather up everybody that is in the vicinity and let's meet up? Let's do a nice geek meetup and just, you know, fellowship with one another, break bread with one another, and talk about our relationships and how it's grown and some plans for the future and just enjoy each other's company, you know?
Right. And as I've talked about many times, we've never met Byer Brown. We've never seen Byer Brown except for maybe his left eye.
Yeah, yeah, and, is my left eye.
Yeah, the left eye and the right wrist. I did see the right forearm, as I've talked about that too. So we'll see if you live up to your mask.
Yeah, so, I keep telling people I don't have a face under there. It's just a skull. That's my face right there.
Well,
that is my face. What do you mean? What mask?
What mask? Oh, really? No, I don't think you get your mouth open that wide.
I know, really. You're just like, I drive a truck through that thing, boy.
Yeah. I don't think the Joker could get his mouth open that wide.
Seriously.
So, okay, now, you know, why don't you tell us about you? Who is Byer Brown and what does he do? Who is your daddy and what does he do?
I am your mild-mannered computer guy, really, that's just down the block. Mm-hmm. And I just have a blast messing with technology. But the one thing that I'm very passionate about is teaching or training people. And my whole niche always has been, and something that I really need to get back to, which is what you'll notice a lot in this new year, is I want to make the bridge or be the bridge from noob to experienced user. That is really my goal, because I know there's a lot of great minds out there with great imaginations that will never be known or never get into the tech because they run into a little bit of a snag and they don't quite understand something and they give it up.
Right.
So I've always tried to, you know, I always tried to be that person that if you found me on YouTube, if you find me anywhere on the internet, that I have some video or some story or some show that made something complex a little bit more fun to learn. Or maybe if I'm not able to teach it completely, that it'll give you just enough to keep that spark around to go forward. Or look at me as that friend that you got, that if you need somebody just to give you that nice little push in the right direction, I hope to be that person. That's all.
Noble. I mean, you have a very smooth way of talking to people. Have you ever been in sales?
No. I've never actually done any sales as far as, you know, being in the company of it, is, you know, like working for a company and doing sales, but selling myself, perhaps.
That not, you do good.
That I've gone out there and I've always landed most of the jobs that I've ever wanted. Although I did miss a promotion recently that really just kind of broke my heart. But I've also learned in my years that not every promotion, not everything that you think is good for you is actually good for you. A lot of times, yeah, there are some promotions that will put you in such a position that you'll be the one receiving the axe when it's time for, you know, for it to be swung again, you know?
Yes, exactly. I hate to say this, but in my company where I work, I have been passed over for a promotion twice. Mm-hmm. And you think maybe it's telling you something. Maybe I'm just not cut out for supervisory or management. Maybe that's possible. But then again, I also look at it this way. As brokenhearted as I was, and still,
oh, yeah,
I'm at a position now where I've got the best job in the house. And I can't understand why I wasn't doing this years ago.
Right.
So because I got passed over, I was able to get in a position that I thoroughly, absolutely love.
Exactly. And talk later about your blessings being in disguise.
Right.
And I think that this is something that is a good lesson for everybody to pay attention to.
Yep.
Blessings in disguise, things that just because you think that you're supposed to be in a position or think that you're supposed to be in a particular place doesn't necessarily mean that that is where you're supposed to be or is the healthiest place for you.
Nope.
Your opportunity may not be ready just yet.
Right.
You know, the right opportunity may not be ready just yet. And if you're not there when it's ready, then you miss out on what was truly going to make you happy.
Of course, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. We're, you know, I'm in retail, and now we're going to be building a new business somewhere. We don't know, as of this point, whether it's in St. Louis, Nashville, or Dallas. And all points are leaning toward Dallas in this market. But I'm not so sure I want to advance now. I mean, you know, I started out at $9 an hour, and I'm not going to say what now, but I will tell you I'm making more money than I've ever made in my entire life, even in the 10 years I was in the pizza delivery business. So I'm happy, and the supervisor position above me starts out at roughly about a $2 an hour more than me.
Mm-hmm. But with a lot more responsibility.
A lot more responsibility, and I expect to be there in about 2, maybe 3 years, where that starting pay is where I will be without all the responsibility.
How does that sound? Doesn't that sound kind of nice?
That's incredible. But, you know, I'm sure you've felt this as you get older and you're worth more to the company. They say I'm doing good, I get good performance appraisals. But yet, you know, in the back of your mind, there's some kid out there half your age who's willing to do it for almost half of your wage.
Oh, for sure.
And that is a very scary thought. But
oh, yeah.
I just do the best I can. I be the best I can. I try to learn the best I can. So that makes me more valuable.
Well, it does make you more valuable. And the thing that you gotta remember, what makes an American, if you want to, whenever people think about buying American, right?
Mm-hmm.
What makes the American employee worth what that American employee is versus, say, somebody that's overseas? Is the American person better than that person? No, it's not about that. It's about a certain way of being. It's about a certain swagger that we have. It's about a certain pride that we have in the way that we do a job.
Right.
Okay. Versus somebody who's just basically a body in a chair. Mind you, now that person who's a body in that chair, mind you, have nothing against that person. They're just trying to feed their family as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice the difference between the person who's just slapped in a chair and the person who is, this is what they do, this is what they pride themselves for.
Right.
And that is the difference between, say, a kid that's coming up half your age that'll do the job for half the money, but they don't have the Lou experience. You're not going to have the Lou experience in getting the job done.
Right.
You know I can depend on Lou to do X, Y, Z. I don't know what this little, you know, this kid's going to come.
Right.
I don't know what this kid's going to be about. And sometimes it just boils down to dependability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Because that is worth money. It's like, look, yeah, sure, you could pay half the price, but you're going to get half the service.
Right. And the position I'm in, you know, I do loss prevention. I'm the guy who watches cameras 8 hours a day. It's been a job that has been a revolving door. People have never really liked that job. The highest, I believe, the record for longevity in the position was almost close to 3 years, and she was called the best there was. I've been doing that job for almost five, and I'm telling you, I will retire from that position if I have my choice in the year 2031. I believe it. I'm going to 62, and then I think I'm going to take the early retirement because my family, we don't live in our late 60s, 70s. So I'm going to go ahead and retire. My house will be paid for. I'll be debt-free, thanks to Dave Ramsey in a lot of ways. But that's a different story, too. I'll be debt-free, paid for house. My wife will still be working another 7 years, so I'll still have access to health insurance. And, you know, she's in better health than I am, so she has no reason why she couldn't go to the full 65.
Right.
So I think, you know, we're going to be doing pretty good. And if a couple of years, 2-3 years, 4 years, maybe we'll be debt-free. I'm going to start ramping up my 401k, make sure our college fund is at least started or, you know, into it. So we've got plans. Now, let's jump out of work for a moment, and let's talk about your podcasting, how you got into it, and what you do.
Oh, well, you know what? Getting into the podcasting, that was an absolute blast. And I do know that there are some people out there who listen to the Lou Trek Show and has been inspired by Lou to start their own shows out there. So most definitely, this experience that I'm sharing is, you know, directed directly to that person. Getting into podcasting was a crazy ride that I've enjoyed every last minute of it, even the heartache part.
Yeah.
I remember bouncing around on the internet looking for something to listen to. And that was the thing for me, is I wanted to listen to a show that was about the interest that, you know, the things that I was interested in. And eventually I ended up coming across the Mike Tech Show. All right. Which is how I met a lot of individuals. A lot of my support in podcasting I met from the Lou. I got most of my support from the Lou Trek Show, but I met a lot of people right over at Mike Tech Show. Then Citizen X, which is a regular over at Mike Tech Show, she actually reached out to me, kind of hunted me down a little bit, found out that I had a YouTube channel. All right. Now, remember, my YouTube, I love YouTube. Even though I like podcasting, YouTube is my, or not so much YouTube, but I like making screen video, screencast type thing. That's my first love. But she reached out to me, said, "Hey, who are you?" And she mentioned about my voice and whatnot. In which case, it was a little bit strange because I've heard different people make comments about it. Now, see, to me, I'm happy that people like it, but to me, I don't sound, you know, any special or anything. You know, I just me, you know. So, but I found out that a lot of people did enjoy it. So I figured, hey, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and throw together a podcast. Now, granted, I was lucky, because I didn't know any better in podcasting. I really stumbled into it. Whereas I think you talked with Mike a little bit first, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you got a lot of ideas coming from Mike, and your professionalism definitely, I think you got some ideas with Mike and then you just kind of ran with it, and you kind of developed your own professionalism, which I applied, you know, on a weekly basis. Me, on the other hand, I didn't get any advice from anybody. I accidentally did okay, you know, and a couple of different people came and said, "Oh, that was a really great show, this, this, and that." And again, I didn't really see anything, say, all that special about it, but people seem to like it. And I like knowing that people enjoy it, so I just kept doing it, really, you know? And that allowed me to connect with more and more people like yourself. And during that time is when I actually got closer with Lou, because I started getting discouraged when things didn't seem to go the way I wanted it to go, you know? Because now that I had a case where people were really gearing in and listening, and I actually had people sending me messages and all these different downloads were happening, I felt like I wanted to really be there for them and produce something good.
Yeah.
You know? So I started going out there and making all these different decisions, and I said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And it got a little bit crazy. And that's the one thing that I would say to anybody who wants to get into podcasting, that is where I kind of made my mistake, is I started to bite off more than I could chew, in the sense of I needed to depend on so many other outside forces to make what I wanted to happen happen. Mm-hmm. And what it told me is, hey, you had a great start. Stick with that. Do what you know to do, and the rest will follow. Just like how we were talking back about the whole work thing, you know, I was kind of overstepping and going a little bit too fast. Mm-hmm. And I realized that this year, or the past year. So I slowed down. So if anybody's out there that wants to get into podcasting, the first thing I would have to say is, yeah, talk to somebody a little bit, Lou, or you can talk to myself or anything like that, and we'll be more than happy to help you along your way. But at the same time, don't get too bent up in all the technical nonsense that goes with it, because you don't want to be too sterile, you know?
Yes.
I think there's something to say to have fun. Just channel in that inner child kind of thing and say, you know, I'm just going to have a blast with this, and go have a blast with it. Mm-hmm. The technical part of it is making sure that your sound is good, you know, your mix board or whatever it is that you're using, and the different technologies that go into play. But me getting into podcasting was one of the best things that ever could have happened to me. And I've met some of my dearest and best friends right here on the internet, which is completely cool, because if this technology didn't exist, I wouldn't even know many people that I do know.
True. I feel the same way. I'm the same way. I've really got no friends outside of this headset that I'm wearing that I can rely on, that I can call, that I can talk to. I mean, I know people who I think they, sometimes I think maybe they just, you know, tolerate me type of thing. I know a one guy who's a, you know, I call him a friend of mine. He does an exterminator service. He's a retired Omaha police officer. But in the sense, are we really friends, or are we just acquaintances who know each other? And, you know, we can go to lunch sometime. He likes going to lunch with me and my sister. But beyond that, what's, you know, I don't really have any friends outside of what's in my headset. And so you're right. I know what you feel. All right. And now, you know, I'd like to play a little bit something for you. Over the last year or so, Byer and I have gone back and forth on trying to outdo each other on promos and who's got more love. And I did the bad Byer Brown, and that was pretty funny.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
My family loved that.
So Byer, he got out the old playbook and started playing around, and here's what he came up with.
Let me see. Lou told me to stand right here on this machine, and he would meet up with me here. And this was tingly. What? Intruder. I'm not an intruder. My name is Byer Brown. I'm here to see Lou Trek. Do you know where Lou's at?
The mystery, and I don't like mysteries. Give me a bellyache, and I got a beauty right now.
Well, I'm really sorry about you not liking mysteries in your stomach. Maybe a little bit of Pepto-Bismol, but I need to see Lou.
Fascinating.
Yeah, he is kind of cool, but fascinating. Listen, my name is Byer Brown from BBTAS.com, and I'm here to support Lou Trek from The Lou Trek Show, who was down at the Trek Fest 2010. Yo, Lou, we can't wait till you get back home. Somebody need to do something with that dude's ears.
Yeah, how was that at Trek Fest? I do have to ask you, I've always been curious. Whenever I hear you talk about the show, I hear Lou Trek from the Lou Trek Show. And I'm thinking, now wait a second, is he having a hard time saying Costanzo? Does he not know it's Costanzo? Or what?
No, I mean, I knew the name, but it just, something about the Lou Trek, it just, to me, that is like your character.
Okay.
On your show. Like, you know, you're already Lou, but when you're doing your show, it's like, you know, you're Lou Trek. That character is you to me.
Okay. So. Makes sense. No, I like it. I'll take it. I'll live with it.
Lou Trek from the Lou Trek Show.
Lou Trek from the Lou Trek Show.
You know you love it.
You know you love it. I love it. We all love it. Oh, anyway. But now, let's go ahead and jump into the show here if we could.
All right.
We are going to talk about Martin Luther King. And
yes.
2 days ago, now today is Monday, January 17th. We'll be putting this out about 3 days from now.
Right, right.
So 2 days ago was his birthday, and today is the national holiday celebrating his birthday. So born on January 15th, 1929, and I'm getting this off of Wikipedia. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was an American clergyman and activist, prominent leader in the African-American civil rights movement. Now, he, of course, was an iconic figure in the advancement of civil rights. Right. And, of course, he did a lot of nonviolent demonstrations. That was his big thing. Mm-hmm. Demonstrate the inequalities of the racial divide, but do it in a nonviolent way. Now, can I ask, because I don't know, how old are you?
I am 40, actually.
Oh, well then you're, forget me asking you if you were around at the time. Because, yeah, that makes you younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I got you by 1 year, buddy. I got you by
1 year. I always knew that.
I didn't. I never asked, you know.
I know, you never did.
I never asked. Well, unfortunately, you know, Dr. King was assassinated in 1968, obviously a year before me and two before you.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, that brought on some pretty big rioting. Now, let's back up a couple years, and we're going to talk about Star Trek. And Star Trek took the black character and turned it into something it was never in the past. I mean, what do you believe, what have you seen about 60s and 70s television?
Well, the thing about the television era back in that time, in the 60s and whatnot, is that the black individual, the black male, the black female, never saw themselves portrayed in a respectable or honorable character.
Right.
You know, it was always either somebody was shucking and jiving, or it was two steps away from basically slavery, or somebody who was simple-minded, things of that nature, buffoonery, that type of feel is what was happening back then. You never saw a black male or a black female doing anything of, say, any true importance in those times. So with Star Trek, you have the first, you start seeing the first seeds of seeing a black person doing something that was not only just honorable, but was in high office,
yeah,
in a sense, you know, something that the young black male or the young black female would have looked at and said, oh, this is only something that somebody that is Caucasian would be able to get to.
Right.
You know, and you would never see that. So Star Trek in that light was amazing. And I don't think people even realize how cool they were for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, one of the first television shows to feature, you know, a strong black officer. Not only that, mm-hmm, but a female officer at that.
Exactly. It wasn't a strong black male, but the black female. And if you look at it like this, the importance of that and where I give them such credit is the black woman is considered to be, if anyone is oppressed, it would be the black woman, because not only did you have the fact that if you were black in those times, you were already, you know, looked down on, but not only that, but if you were a woman, you were also looked down on. So you were double looked down on if you were black and a woman at the same time. It was like, sister, don't even try.
Right. Yes.
Don't even bother trying, because you got it. Not only do you have to fight against the way that people were treating women, but you had to fight against the way that they were treating, African Americans at that time. Mm. So it was just, you know, the black woman really has had a really hard struggle in many ways.
Yes.
Many ways.
And just like, you know, I want to bring this up to give context. Just like Star Trek went out on a limb, and of course, now the original pilot of Star Trek had a female first officer. She was a white female. And the networks shut it down. And mm-hmm. I just don't want to make this episode here, my show here, about a black and white. We're going to talk a lot of races that have been represented in, and gender in Star mm-hmm. Trek. So, but just like Star Trek went on a limb to bring strong black characters, we had other shows that were in around the same time frame, like the one I'm looking at, and you may have actually heard a little bit snippet of this as I was trying to get YouTube to stop. Have you ever seen or are you familiar with All in the Family?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
With Archie Bunker.
Archie Bunker. And, you know, I'm kind of stunned at the time of the race relations in the 60s and 70s that Norman Lear actually thought that this was a good thing to do. And I want to play a little bit of Archie Bunker. It's just, Carol O'Connor was an awesome actor. And mm-hmm. then, you know, later he went on to do In the Heat of the Night. And that was another very good show. But this is dealing with race, where Archie Bunker meets Sammy Davis.
Get me a beer, huh? And eat it a glass this time, huh? And open up a fresh box of Twinkies for Mr. Davis.
Twinkies?
Yeah, it's kind of a wasp soul food.
Don't listen to him. He's a kind of a meathead, Mr. Davis.
Look, why don't you stop calling me Mr. Davis and just call me Sam?
Oh, hey, I'd like to do that.
Okay.
Sam? Yeah, that's nice. And you can call me Archie. I mean, what the hell?
It gets weirder from there to the point where, Mr. Davis, Sammy, can we get a picture together? And just before they click the picture, Sammy leans over to give Archie a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Remember that? I don't know if you've
ever
seen
that. Yes, I do. His eyes are like, oh.
Oh, my. Yeah, he couldn't possibly believe that. I mean, he was, Archie Bunker was, I guess, courageous or stupid enough to talk about white blood and black blood as really as if there was any difference at all.
Well, the thing is that shows like Archie Bunker and everything, what was courageous about it, some people absolutely hate this show, and they look at it as being like a racist show and things of that nature. I don't think that they understood what was trying to be accomplished here. What was trying to be accomplished here is talking about the unspeakable. Yes. Talking about the way that things really were, the way that people really felt about people. Mm-hmm. By doing that, by talking about it and putting it out in Front Street and doing it in a sense, in an entertaining kind of way, which made it a little easier to digest, it then allowed for some healing to begin, some understanding to begin. These are the forefronts of what made to what makes today possible.
Right.
You know, because this was the way that people started to talk about what was the relationship between white, black, Chinese, all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's tensions You know, and like you were saying, it's not just a white and black thing. There's tensions amongst all the races of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, there's tension between everybody. There's tension in the black community. There's tensions between whether you're a light-skinned black person or dark-skinned black person. Mm-hmm. There's a whole nother world in that alone, you know. And then when you look overseas, there's a difference between when you look at the different Italians. There's a little bit of a tension between the darker skinned Sicilians and the lighter skinned Italians. Over in China and whatnot, there's a place called Chocolate City. These are Asians who have half African parents, or they're half something else. They may be half Irish or whatever, but they all kind of live in this one particular area. They call it Chocolate City. Young lady on their, they have a show called, I think it's called Go Asian Girl. She ended up being half Oriental and half African. And the Chinese people over there that are full blooded Chinese were very, very cruel to her for that. Yeah. And these just goes to show you, or this just goes to show you that the strain between different races all over, and not just what was happening here in America, but just everywhere. No matter where you go, if you're different from somebody else, there tends to be a strain. The thing that makes America a wonderful place is that it was the first kind of place that successfully was trying to become what, you know, was called the melting pot. Uh-huh. You know, now we have yet to truly succeed at it, but we have gotten further than anybody else in history has ever gotten.
I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's pretty momentous that our first black president, and of course what bothers me is that people will then put a comma and say, but he's half white.
Yeah, that goes back to that whole thing, like with like Tiger Woods, his whole thing is that you're Cablasian. He's Cablasian, half part African American, part Asian, and part Caucasian. The thing is that I guess what stings a little bit about that, some African American people, they want to kind of pull themselves away from being black by putting more emphasis on their other half, you know, whether it's Caucasian, Asian, or whatever, where other people will try to discredit, say, they're being the first black president by saying, but he's half Caucasian. So it's like, yeah, you kind of got there, but you're not quite yet there. Yeah. It's called, what they're looking for is slave blood, is what they're looking for. When will there be a 100% African-American male that was a descendant from slaves? Now, Obama's wife, Michelle, she's from slave blood, but Obama himself is not. And until a slave blood African American male holds the presidency, some people will not even look at the fact that there is a black president. They won't even look at it as being true until that happens, which just goes to show you just how twisted some people are. Yeah. And even if you don't agree with Obama and whatnot, and even myself, I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a fan of Obama. I'm proud of the fact that I live in a country that has finally gotten to a point that could happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That I'm proud of. I'm very proud of the fact that I now, if I look at my son and say, hey, you too can be president, I'm not lying to him like I thought I would have been if I ever said it before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there was a time where I never would have told my son that. Oh, yeah, you could be president. Yeah, right.
Right.
You
know? So yeah.
That's how I would have felt. But when you see Obama making it to the presidency, even if you don't agree with him, but when you see a black male actually making it there, there is no more excuse to saying, can you make it? Well, yeah, you can.
Really? I mean, what else is there besides past president? I mean, we have the astronaut. Was there a first black astronaut? Yes, there have been plenty. Mm-hmm. Now we get up senators, congressmen. Now the highest office in the land is now occupied by a black man. And
yeah.
Now let me, you know, and I do want to mention on this show, I want to be candid about something. You know, I don't know, honestly, as a white man. Is there a difference between an African-American and a black man? Because I do retail, as I say, and I do surveillance, and we call people out. We simply, if I'm watching somebody or if they're shoplifting at this moment, we simply go straight black, white, Hispanic, Asian, male, female. So, I mean, is there a really, what's the difference between black and African-American?
The only real difference between it is the attitude of the person that you're dealing with.
Okay.
I mean, it's, look at it like this. Am I a black man? Yes, I am. Am I an African American man? Yeah, I am. You know, whenever you're dealing with, if you're dealing with somebody that just committed a crime, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, black male did yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Now, that person, somebody, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, somebody's going to jump out of the woodwork and be like, well, you said black male like he wasn't a part of this country.
Right.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, because it was linked to the fact that there was a crime happening in that and somebody said a black male, then now somebody, they want to act like it was being said as in a bad way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can take, if you say African-American male, let's say the same situation, you say, well, this African-American male was doing something horrible. Oh, well, why you got to take such an emphasis on African-American? Why can't I just be a black man?
Really?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The point that I'm trying to make here is you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
You know, and there's no... Don't even try to even fight that battle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
because
we,
no matter what you do, it's going to be looked at wrong in somebody's eyes.
Right. And we attempt for brevity in radios. You know, you want to be clear, succinct, and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. The time it takes you to say one is not important. But, okay. So... do you think it's going to be possible, and if so, when? Do you think it's possible that we could have our utopia that Star Trek has, where whites and blacks and Asians and male and female will be able to work together and not even give a flip about what the other person looks like?
Mm.
Do you see that as being anywhere possible in your lifetime, in my lifetime, and if not... About when do people let the prejudices go and just we're all human?
I personally don't think we ever will ever get there.
Ever.
Ever.
Not
I don't
even
think
a
that,
100,
I don't
200.
Think that that is a realistic, I don't think that it will ever happen. Hmm. You know, realistically, I don't think it'll ever, ever happen. Now, of course, I kind of base... what I've just said there, I based that off of, I don't usually like to bring up, you know, religious things or whatnot, but I do have, part of what makes me who I am is based off of, you know, my religious beliefs as well. Okay. Now I consider myself to be a Christian in training because I mess up a lot. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm always stumbling and all over the place, but you know, it's like anybody says, you don't get well first and then go see the doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're sick and you go see the doctor when you're not feeling well. Well, that's how in my life, as far as my religious part of it, that's how I feel like I am a Christian in training, trying very hard to do what I believe is the right thing to do. I don't think that mankind is able to really get to an utopia on his own. You know, I don't think that that'll ever happen because there's too many mankind in mankind's heart. We are tenacious, and there is a certain darkness in us all, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a certain, it's like, that's why you never have to teach a child how to lie.
Yeah.
You know, you don't teach a child how to lie. You teach a child not to lie, but you don't teach them to lie. Nobody says, oh, this is how you lie. It's like they just know how to lie.
Right.
You know what I mean? They develop that. And there's a certain darkness in mankind that I think will always be that separate, keeping us separate. Now, we will try hard. Don't get me wrong. We will try hard. And there will be small groups of people who will get along, white, black, Asian, Mexican, whatever. There will be small groups. But will this world be in harmony like that? I doubt it. I don't think that that will ever happen. On mankind on its own, on his own.
Okay. Well, you know, I do my best. I was raised in a partially racist family. I'll be honest with you about that. I've heard things from my extended family that were downright chilling at times. I mean, we're talking mm-hmm. people who grew up in the 50s and 60s. And I try to let that go because it's not relevant to my life. And I'm trying to raise my little girl, to accept everybody for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm doing good on this. You know, she loves everybody for who they are. The problem is, this is not in a tangent, but she thinks strangers, as long as they're nice to her, they're okay. Well, I'm going to solve that problem quickly, but go on.
The thing is with children, though, in a lot of ways, children, now that is the one thing that is kind of taught. There's a certain stage of where kids kind of just play with kids.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't really care about anything else. It's a funny switch that gets turned on when you start seeing people separate from each other. I remember when I was a young child, I remember I had my best friend in the world's name was Mike. And I think his name was like Mike. It was either Mike Boyle or Boyd or something, but I've never seen him again. But he was a white kid. And I remember me and him playing Tonka trucks in the dirt. We didn't know anything about anything else. It was me and my buddy, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we sat there and we made the trucks and we made explosions and we had Godzilla. And it was just, that was how it was. Then I remember also shortly thereafter, I had actually ran into my first racist person as a child, which was this kid that was this older kid that was on my school bus. And that was the first time that I heard the N-word and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, and the funny thing is I didn't really know what the freak he was saying to me.
Right.
Because I never had heard that kind of language before. And I didn't really know that I was supposed to be offended. You know, I just knew that he was talking to me very meanly.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And that was the first time I experienced that. As time went on, I experienced more of it, of course, but the funny thing is I never lost, or I should say the thing that I feel like I've been blessed with the most, and I'm so glad that God put this in my heart, was I never lost that thought of how I thought of my friend Mike, you know?
Yeah.
And that is what I think was the deciding part in my life where I knew that there was a difference between a Caucasian person treating me foul, but not all were like that. Because way down in my memory, to this day, I remember Mike. You know, a goofy little kid with glasses playing Tonka trucks.
Yeah.
Best friend in the world.
Okay.
You know?
All right. I'm happy with that. Good.
Okay.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, I'm doing the best I can for her. I mean, she, you know, she loves everybody the way they are, and that's, I think, that's why I tend to disagree with you. I think in a way, somewhere down the road, people who hate Obama simply because he's black or half black, mm-hmm. somewhere they're gone. They're, you know, these people are on the way out. And there's a whole generation right now, I think, the parents of today who have young children are attempting, I hope, knock on wood, attempting to get rid of the past and right. make the, you know, help these kids to care about each other no matter who they are. And as each new generation goes on, it's just, I think it's just going to get better and better to where these old cronies who are trying to keep the white man in power, they're gone. You know, they're starting to fizzle out as we speak.
I can honestly say that I desperately hope that your vision of it is true. I desperately hope that, because I don't really want the way that I think of it. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I would love to see our country
right.
get to that point that it truly does not matter who you are, what color you are, anything. Right. I would love to see that, you know, happen. Well, I don't know.
I do hope.
I have hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Let's plan to meet someday in heaven after you and I have both left this world and we've both tried to instill on our children love and peace for no matter what they look like. You exactly. and I are going to, I want to meet you in heaven, and we're going to look down as the, you know, the eons go by, and we're just going to watch the progress, and we'll see who's right in this one. And like
yeah,
I said,
and I hope you are. I do.
Yeah, I do. I feel it's coming. I feel it's coming.
What would be really cool, though, I mean, because I think the one thing, though, Lou, is if it ever would happen, do you imagine the things that you could get done?
Yeah.
If people didn't spend half their time hating on everybody, could you imagine what you could get done?
Right.
Whew.
Now, you know, another thing, so let's go on to other items. Now, we talk about Star Trek, and of mm-hmm. course, there was the first interracial kiss between Captain Kirk and Lieutenant Uhura.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but however, it's not as impressive as you might think, because number one, they were under an alien influence,
and I think
that's the reason why it even got past the censors to begin with.
Well, it was the genius of it, though.
It was the ingenious, but watch it really close. They don't kiss. The only thing they do is they kind of like put their face to each other, but you don't see the usual pucker. Mm-hmm. They don't really kiss. So I don't give it as much hoopla as it was played for.
Right, right. And they probably, yeah, they probably really didn't kiss.
No.
But it was the genius of it was that there was a message being told there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is why, quite honestly, what better show to watch on Martin Luther King Day than Star Trek?
Right.
And you know what I mean? Seriously, it was an ingenious show.
Right. And I want to play this sound clip here. It's a little over 4 minutes, and I didn't edit it. So I might edit whatever. There's a lot of audience laughter in this. But anyway, Nichelle Nichols tells a story about how after the first season of Star Trek, she wanted to leave the show, and she talked to Gene Roddenberry. And this mm-hmm. is what happened. As we all know, she stayed in the show. But not a lot of people know why. And she only tells these stories at conventions. So I was able to snag on YouTube a convention where she talks about it. So let's listen up here.
But after that first season, I went to Gene Roddenberry, and I said, Gene, I'm not going to return to Star Trek. I've had a wonderful season with you, but as you know, my heart is the theater, and I'm being offered a wonderful role, and I think it's going to go to Broadway, and so I want to leave and pursue my real career. he said, when did you decide this? And I said, I think I always wanted to do this. And but thank you for, you know, giving me this wonderful opportunity, blah, 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 blah. And he looked up at me and he said, I don't want you to leave, but I won't hold you. But I want you, this was a Friday evening, he said, I want you to take this weekend and think about it. Come back and we'll talk about it Monday. If you still feel the same way, you go with my blessings. And he said, but don't you understand what I'm trying to achieve? And I went home and I just thought about it and thought about it. And Saturday night, I went to an NAACP fundraising big event, and one of the organizers came up to me and said, Miss Nichols, I was on the dais, you know, and I'm standing talking. He turns, he says, Miss Nichols, there's someone who would really, really want to meet you. It's great, a big fan of Star Trek and a big fan of yours. And I said, certainly. And I stood up from, and I turned around and I looked at Dr. Martin Luther King. And for the first time, and possibly the last time, I was at a loss for words. I know it's difficult for you to believe, but I was literally at a loss for words. And he said in his beautiful, mellifluous tones, my whole family loves your work and the show. He says, it's one of the only shows my wife and I allow our three little children to stay up that night and watch. He says, and the role that you play and the manner in which you play it, my little daughter said, I want to grow up and be a great lady like Lieutenant Uhura. And I was getting chill bumps. And I said, well, thank you so much, Dr. King. I'm really going to miss being with the cast. And he says, I beg your pardon. And I said, well, I told Gene Roddenberry last night that after shooting that I was leaving the show. And he said, you can't. He said, don't you realize what that man is trying to do? I swear, that's what happened. He said those words. And I guess I thought I stepped out of reality and into fantasy. There's a line for a show, isn't it? He said, for the first time, not only other people that we know in our country, but the world will see us as we are supposed to be seen, as intelligent, bright, beautiful, worthy people.
Did you ever know that happened?
No.
Yeah. She tried to get off the show, but she was talked back into it, so I'd say...
No, never knew that happened.
She was a huge, huge character on Star Trek. So, you know, as her time went on, she got better. They gave her more to do. And her famous nude scene in one of the movies can't be complained about. I don't know if you ever saw that, but I'm trying to...
No, missed that one, too.
It was, I think, Star Trek V, the, where Spock's half-brother tries to take over the ship to go visit Shakari, and she had to do this nude dance and on this planet to get their attention. You don't really see her as nude, but still, you can tell she is. And,
right.
Yeah, she was looking pretty fine there. But, and then, you know, from that point on, it just seemed to get better. You know, we had people who were Captain Kirk's superiors were right. female, were black, were Captain Picard's superiors was a female. Geordi La Forge, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
He was the chief engineer on a starship. Captain Benjamin Sisko was the commander of the space station Deep Space Nine. Lieutenant Commander Tuvok was the tactical officer. Ensign Harry Kim, who was a Chinese-American playing a Korean-American, Hoshi Sato on Enterprise, who was a Korean American playing a Chinese American. I always got, you know, I never understood why they didn't just let them play who they were. But see, the point is, a lot of people bring that up. They're missing the point. The point is, there's no such thing as a racial divide.
Exactly.
I used to harp on how could Captain Picard, a French man, have an English accent? Well, why can't he? There's no such thing as borders or racial divides no more.
Exactly.
And that's where I'm hoping we go again. But then I think Star Trek took a left turn when we got to Enterprise. We always had the Andorians, who were the blue-skinned fellows, refer to everyone in the Federation, and particularly Captain Archer, as pink-skins.
Mm.
And I believe, you know, I had a problem with that, because I didn't like the way that sounded, you pink-skins. Because, you know, Travis Mayweather, who was the helmsman on Enterprise, certainly didn't qualify as a pink-skin. And had he called him a brown-skin, that probably would have shut the show down instantly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wish, that's why I didn't really like them going into that. But I do believe it was Trip Tucker who got him back at the Blue Devils, Blue Skin Devils or something. Something to that extent.
Right.
And then we had Bones McCoy, little old Bones, talking about Spock, you green-blooded, half-human, insensitive. And so he brings up that green-blooded, half-human Vulcan. So in conclusion, the moral of the story here is, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, because we still don't know, I'm still always going to worship to the altar of the Byer Brown. And so, you know, you're always tops on this show. You're the biggest supporter we've got. And our hits have shown that a lot of people find us through you.
Oh, great.
So
that is awesome. That is that right there is a gift. And anybody out there who has come across the Loot Truck Show because of anything that I have said or done, thank you very much. And I know that you guys are happy that I told you about it, because this show is top notch.
Right.
And it is going to go far. I can't wait to watch you just explode on the scene when you really get noticed by someone.
Let's hope. We can all be part of the same network, I hope. And we are. We're all part of the Tech Podcast Network, but let's hope we can get together sometime. And now let's talk about, let's end this with BBTAS.com. We have BBTAS, Byer Brown Tech and Stuff. That's just came out with the new episode. We have The Blur, who also just came out with the new episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Binary, because I brought it up, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Binary's coming out with a brand new episode as well.
Yeah. We also have The Road of I and We with Ben Straw, who I was just talking to on Skype, letting him know that we were talking, and he said your BFF privileges have been revoked. Well, I'm sure you can get them back.
The Road of I and We, absolute blast doing that show. And
yes,
we like to do that around Saturday, usually around 7 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock. Also on Sundays when Saturday is not possible.
Yeah.
So,
well, what's it like working with Ben then?
Oh, Ben is crazy. He is a nut. And one thing I love about doing The Road of I and We is he takes care of all of the technical nonsense. So I don't have to do any of that. I just show up and interact with Ben as far as the different topics he wants to talk about at that moment. And some of the topics are based off of what I want to talk about as well. But I like to, you know, kind of shine a light more on him because it is that was his brainchild there.
Yeah.
The whole Road of Iron Wee. And I do enjoy doing it. It kind of lets me relax a little bit and just have some fun.
Right. I like Ben. And, you know, we had him on the last show. Did you listen to that show?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, let's answer the question then. We posed a question when he was... played a sound clip of your last show together with him, mm-hmm. and you were talking about January. It's like, it's the door. And you went into your the store, and I stopped it at that point. I said, do you think he made all that up? And Ben said, you know, I think he did.
No. That is actually true. I was I found that on Wikipedia when I was researching what each month meant.
Ah, okay.
Because I was curious about why, because there was a time when there was only 10 months. There wasn't always 12 months. And I was curious about that time frame, like what was going on, why did we end up with 12 months later?
Okay.
And while I was reading up on that, that's when I came across the whole January stands for the door and some kind of passing through and all this other nonsense.
Okay.
But yeah, that's true, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. All right. And so where do we find the Road of Iron Wee with Ben Straw?
The Road of Iron Wee is over at ket2o.me. Also, you can go to BBTAS and find where I posted on my blog as well. I normally post it on my blog about 2 or 3 days later after it's been posted on ket2o.me.
All right. And then let's go on to the next one that you're doing.
Oh, the facelift.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to the day that Lou gets facelifted. And you got my wheels rolling, and I've talked about this. I want to come up with Face Trek, and that's going to be my buddies and my people on Facebook. And I still have not really narrowed down what I want to do, but I'm sure, you know, because how many of my Facebook friends are going to have headsets or microphones to where they can actually come on and talk to me? Whereas you are doing a profile about the people, I actually want to bring them on and integrate it with the show and talk to them. Tell them, tell us about yourself, type of thing.
No, you're going down the right path for sure. Matter of fact, in the last facelift that I did, which was on Veronica Lane, mm-hmm. I actually sent a shout out and asking them, you know, would you come on and talk? That is definitely directly from you.
Good.
You know, because that is an absolutely great idea.
Great.
That is an absolute great idea. It's like, hey, have them come on. Let's talk about a little bit more about what they do. My plan with the facelift right now, if I can pull this off the way that I would like it to be, is that I want to do profiles on people, but I also would like to have one show out of that month where I have, say, those two people or three people on the show, and we all kind of meet and talk as a round table.
There you go. See?
You know, and then the next month, pick three more people that I profile, and at the end of that month, those three get on with me, and we round table,
right,
about the different things. So that's the goal that I'm going for.
Yep. See, you fed me the idea. I put a little spice in it. Fed it back to you. It's just the way this is, and this is the beauty about podcasting. We can go back and forth.
Your idea is on point. Very good thinking. Great. Very good thinking.
Great. Well, hey, you know, thank you for coming on and talking to us. You are obviously welcome anytime you wish to come talk. Anything that you want to do, promote, or tell people about, you got to do it.
Definitely. And likewise, right back at you. You know, you always got a friend over here in BBTAS land.
All right. And I'll be looking forward to June.
Yes. Yes. I cannot wait. I really hope you can make it. Awesome. I really, really hope. I mean, I understand completely if you can't, but if you can be there, that definitely would give my heart joy.
All right. Yeah, that is true. Because, I mean, you've said, if I really, I think you said, and I don't know if you did or not, but maybe it was wishful thinking, but you said if I really wanted you to reveal yourself, you would. But now, no, I don't. I want to wait till June. I want to try and pick you out of a crowd.
Oh, for sure.
You know? So I'm going to have a little fun with that while it lasts, because once that's over, man, that's over. And then from that point on, we could be doing our video chats and we'll talk. But until then, let's milk this for all it's worth.
Yeah, let's have a ball with it.
Right. All right, buddy. Thank you very much again. I love you, man. You take care.
Absolute pleasure. Love you right back.
All right, we'll see you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to tonight's show. And I especially want to thank my co-host, Byer Brown. It has been terrific having you on. You've been a terrific, wonderful friend. And I thank God I found you. Everybody, take care. Happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.